Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn over to the book of 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter number 3. I have a little thought on my heart tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. 2 Peter chapter number 3. The second epistles are generally written, and 2 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Peter, addressing the subject of apostasy. Apostasy is different than ignorance. If someone is ignorant, they just don't know. Apostasy is looking at the truth and willfully turning your back on the truth that's right in front of you. I could say this, I could say a lot tonight about that, but when you look at an ultrasound of a baby in a mother's womb, you're looking at the truth. And that's a form of apostasy to turn your back on that and say that a man's guilty of double murder if he punches a woman in the belly when she's pregnant and the baby dies and she dies. He's guilty of double murder. But we're not guilty of murder if we take the baby's life. That's a double standard. Say amen. And that's turning your back on the truth. You say, well, preacher, that ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. Read Psalm 139. I'm telling you, we're fearfully, we're wonderfully made. Amen. And Peter here is in chapter number 3. I've been chewing on this for 3 days now. In chapter number 3, he writes in verse 1, he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And I just want to preach tonight on this subject, a couple of things that's got me stirred up. Just a couple, amen, of things that's got me stirred up. And I hope you'll pray for us tonight, and I hope God will stir up our pure minds. The fact that Peter said, stir up your pure minds, tells me that he's not addressing the heathen. There's nothing pure about the heathen. They have not yet come in contact with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I that have been saved by the grace of God, you and I that are born again, that are heaven bound, beloved, God expects us to have a pure mind, to think on these things, those things that are lovely, of good report, honest, and those things, beloved, God wants us to think on those things. And I want to give you something tonight I hope be a blessing. Pray with me, would you? And pray for me. Father, I need your help. Because, Lord, I found out a long time ago that if I could be a help to anyone, it would be, Lord, because you've helped me. I pray, God, tonight, Lord, you know that I have very little as far as notes or anything like that. But I have a heart, our Father, tonight that's full. And I pray, God, that you'd help me to convey those things, Lord, that be pleasing in thy sight. Leave off anything, our Lord, that would be of the flesh. And God, just to preach the word of God tonight as it is to us, God's people, as we are. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, all of God's young and said, amen. Couple of things tonight that stirred me up. Let me just give you something tonight that I believe will be a blessing. I think we need some people in this generation, I'm talking about God's people, to get stirred up about the things of God. I was on the road today, and I don't know what this man's business is, but but there was something bigger on the back of his van than his business. And what it was someone kneeling at the cross, and the verse of Scripture was 2 Chronicles 7 and verse number 14. The verse was not spelled out. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Every child of God that's here tonight, that verse ought to be spelled out in your heart. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Our beloved, we need a healing. Amen. We need forgiveness tonight. Amen. In this country that we live in. I'll give you something tonight that turn back over to the book of Isaiah for just a moment. Just laying this a little bit of groundwork tonight about this thing of being stirred up. In Isaiah chapter 64, the Lord reminded me of this while I was praying. And thank God I had enough memory to find it in the Bible. Amen. But in Isaiah chapter number 64, the Word of God said in verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Let me say this to you tonight. God's people, we don't ever need to forget that. I don't care how long you've been saved, how far down the road you are for God. Beloved, we cannot produce righteousness. All we have tonight is the righteousness that's been imputed to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our righteousnesses, stack them all up, and it's like a box of filthy rags, the Word of God said. Now, He said we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Watch this now. Wouldn't this be a sad commentary for our church? Wouldn't it be a sad commentary for our families? Wouldn't it be a sad commentary for our county, for our country? The Word of God said, "And there is none that call upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." You say, "Pastor, we're not there yet." I'll tell you something right now. We're well on our way. You mark it down tonight, beloved. God would chasten the children of Israel when they forgot who God was, when they got too big for their britches, and when they thought they could do it on their own. We have a Heavenly Father that loved them too much to let them go. He'd throw that crook out there and say, "Come here. You belong to me. You're my people." Amen. Oh, thank God tonight. He won't let us go either. Amen. As His children. Amen. He will bring us back. There's two things tonight that I want to preach about for a little while that God spoke to my heart about in 2 Peter chapter number 3. Just two things tonight that I think ought to stir us up, cause us to want to get a hold of God in these days that we live in. Number one, the saints are leaving. Are you born again tonight? Are you saved by the grace of God? Let me ask you this. Do you understand we're leaving? I said we're not here for long. We're leaving. Amen. God willing, I'll get to see Sawyer this week. Is it this week, Miss Eve? No, it's next week. Okay. Yeah, that we're still in Wednesday. I am anticipating seeing that boy. Amen. And seeing Olivia. And I can't wait to see them. It'll be next week. That's right. And anyway, but I know this. There's something else I'm anticipating. And that's seeing the one that loved me and gave himself for me. And before I ever see Sawyer, I may see the Savior. And I believe we ought to concentrate on that. It will cause us to want to take hold of the things of God. Let me show you something. I've heard Brother Herman Anderson say something for years, and I didn't know that it was right here in the book of Peter. Look at 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, rather, chapter number 1. I just read you a verse where he said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." And I want you to read, there's another time here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 13. He said, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle," what Peter's talking about there, in this body. Amen. How many's glad we got a new tabernacle waiting on us? Amen. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, the Word of God said. Watch this now. He said, "I think it meet," or that word would mean necessary. It's I have to do this because it's on my heart. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Beloved, I want to say this to you. Every one of us, when we first got saved and learned of the truth of the coming of God, the coming of the Lord Jesus for the church, you can't tell me that truth did not stir you up to know that, beloved, He was going to step out on a cloud
and there's a trumpet going to sound. And he's going to say, come up hither. And thank God the graves are going to bust open of every saint of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we're out of here. That truth stirred us. Amen. But if we're not careful, we're saved 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And that truth begins to get old. And that truth begins to die down a little bit. Beloved, listen. Peter already saw it in his generation. He said, as long as I'm able to preach, as long as I'm able to talk, I want to stir you up. Now, watch this now. He said in verse 14, knowing, this is just, it blesses my heart. I want you to go back to what Brother Herman, I'll tell you in a minute what he said. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Brother Griswold, I believe sometimes God lets a man know his days are short down here on the earth. I've visited with people before in the hospital. I've visited with them in nursing homes, in hospice care. And beloved, listen, they knew, amen, maybe God had just visited with them in such a way, but they knew their days were short, amen, and they were looking for, Peter knew. This is what Brother Herman used to say. He'd say, whether it's by way of the clods or by way of the clouds, I'm going to be with Jesus. That's what Peter's saying in this book. I'm going to put off this my tabernacle. Then when you get over to chapter number 3, he's talking about the coming of the Lord in glory. Amen. I believe he knew either way he was going to see his Savior. And it was going to be a blessing. Amen. And it stirred his heart. The saints are leaving. That stirs me up. You say, preacher, how do you know the saints are leaving? Well, let me give you 3 reasons I know right quickly. Number 1, the scripture. Look at verse 2. The word of God said, by the way, what are we supposed to remember? You know what we're supposed to remember? The scripture. Say amen. By way of remembrance, we're supposed to hide the word of God in our heart, that we wouldn't sin against God. Amen. And he said in verse number 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken. I'll just say this tonight. I'm not being critical. But a lot of the saints of God aren't stirred, aren't going to be stirred, because they've laid this old book on the shelf somewhere. Amen. I'm telling you, this book is full of truth that'll stir your heart. It'll stir your life. It'll stir your family. And hallelujah, if this country, amen, had enough children of God get stirred up, we could have a revival, amen, and see God make a difference in our country. He said, you might be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and the commandment of the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. You say, pastor, how do you know he's coming? I've got a book. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I love this book, don't you? Listen to me tonight. Old John got over there. They thought they was going to do John a disservice. I tell you what, John, we don't like what you're preaching. We don't like who you stand for. You act just like that Jesus acted when he was down here on this earth. We're just going to throw you out there on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. Going to put him out there. We're going to do him a disservice. Honey, they done him a service. They didn't do him a disservice. And let me tell you this, thank God Almighty, God didn't just do John a service. God did us a service. We wouldn't have the book of the Revelation. And he's out there and he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a voice. And I tell you, God got a hold of John. I listen to me tonight. I don't want to see persecution, but I believe it's coming. And that might be what it takes for God to get a hold of some of his youngins in this generation and stir us up that we might take a hold of God. Amen. Oh, John, what did he see? What did he see? First thing he saw was the Savior. He describes him, amen, the feet. He describes those golden paths. He describes that hair. He describes those eyes as a flame of fire. And beloved, he did the best he could to say, that's him. I'm looking at him. I've got my eyes on him. And he couldn't take his eyes off of him. And I tell you what, old Jesus told John, he said, I'm he that was. Amen. And I am, and I will be forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. Then what John see? Here comes the churches. Chapter 2 and chapter number 3. chapter 2 and chapter number 3, you got the seven churches of Asia. John saw the churches. Let me say this to you. There was somebody that saw the churches before John saw the churches. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? When he was on the cross, hallelujah, he was purchasing the church with his own blood. Amen. He told Peter, Peter said, you're the Christ, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You say, Pastor, where are you going with this? He saw the churches. Then he saw, beloved, the rapture come up hither, chapter 4, verse number 1. He saw the 24 elders gathered around the throne of God, rejoicing. He heard them singing that song of the redeemed. Where is the Lamb that was slain. Amen. And then John saw the time of Jacob's trouble. He saw the tribulation that's coming upon this earth. And then John saw, beloved, the marriage of the Lamb. And then John saw the great white throne judgment. And then John saw that holy city coming down out of heaven as a bride prepared for her husband. And when John got through seeing it all, he said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I believe John was stirred up on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. John probably prayed like he had never prayed. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, the saints are leaving. How do you know? I've got a Bible. Amen. The scriptures tell us that the saints of God are leaving. Say, preacher, why are you stirred up tonight? Well, not only the saints leaving, I'm stirred because the saints are leaving. I know that because of the scripture. But secondly tonight, I know it because of the scoffers. The word of God said here, the Bible said, knowing this first. That's going to happen first. That there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Let me say this to you tonight. I believe God showed me something right here. God wants us to understand something tonight. All things are not continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Why, Brother Steve, does he go on in the next few verses to describe the flood? I'm telling you, there was an interruption in there. And the judgment of God fell on this world. And only Noah and his three sons and their wives and his wife escaped the judgment of God. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, the scoffers, you say, preacher, there's people that don't believe in the flood. I know that. And I'll tell you this, they're lost people. Amen. There should be no child of God anywhere that has a question mark concerning the judgment of God in the flood. There should be no child of God anywhere that has a question mark about the fact that God, in 6 days, I said 6 literal days, made the heavens and made the earth, and on the 7th day, he rested. You say, Pastor, why do you believe those things? I tell you why, because this precious old book, the same book that pointed me towards Calvary, the same book that pointed out my sin and pointed me to the Savior, it's the same book that teaches me that he's coming again. And he's coming in judgment again. Oh, beloved friend, where is the promise of his coming? I believe the saints are leaving. How do you know, Pastor? The scripture. And then the scoffers, amen, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. They're reserved. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Bible said they're reserved. Listen, I can't help myself tonight. This world's facing climate change. Amen, Brother Grizzle. I'm telling you, it's going to get so hot that the rocks are going to melt. Amen. The Bible said the heavens and the earth are going to melt with fervent heat. You say, Pastor, you mean there's not going to be a flood? Nope. That's why God put a rainbow in the sky. He said, it ain't going to be like this again. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know which would be worse, dying in a flood or dying in a fire. But I know this, both of them will be lost without God. and to die lost is a terrible thought tonight. I'll get on that a little bit later, amen, in the message tonight. The first thing that stirs me up, the saints are leaving. How do you know, preacher? I know because of the scripture. I know because of the scoffers. But then let me give you this thirdly real quickly under this first thing. See, you thought we only had two things, but we had three things under one thing. I think there's only one thing under the other thing. But anyway, you understand what I mean. We're leaving. I got Sister Peggy to smile just then. Amen. Somebody stand saying it took a miracle. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that, Sister Peggy. I really do. Amen. Watch this now tonight. Turn with me to 1 John quickly. The saints are leaving. How do you know, preacher? Well, the scripture tells us. The scoffers are there. But there's something else, beloved, that I believe tells the children of God. How many's with me so far tonight? Born again, heaven bound with a hammer down. Like old Brother Herman, whether it's by way of the clods or by way of the clouds, I'm going to be with Jesus. Watch this now. 1 John chapter number 3. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen to me. There's a separating going on in America right now. Y'all understand that? Y'all understand that if... Listen to me. If I have to fight in the army, I'm ready to fight. I will say this. I'm a good shot. Amen? Jim Hagee's told me 100 times since he's known me, you would have been a sniper in the military. Brother Steve, why would anybody be satisfied to be able to hit a baseball at 100 yards when you could hit a dime? Amen. All you got to do is work on that load a little bit, work on the bedding in that rifle a little bit, work on that trigger a little bit, and then the last thing is work on you a little bit. Amen. And you can do it. You can do it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Have no interest in laying down in a foxhole and looking over beside of me with something that's been changed. My Bible said, male and female created he them. It's a sad day in America. I said it's a sad day in America when it no longer matters which bathroom you go into. Thank God Almighty. Listen, all I'm trying to tell you is, according to them, we're the oddballs. You want to know why we're odd? God. God has told us that we're men. God has told us that we're women. And I feel sorry for somebody, amen, that's not satisfied with what they are. But God is not in this thing. Trying to make a man out of a woman. Or a woman out of a man. Brother Preston, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. Get that boy something besides Barbie dolls to play with. And when he wants to get dirty, make sure he gets it in his ears and in his hair. Then send him in and let mama clean him up. Have these with me tonight. God help us in this country. God help us. But you know what? I believe with all of my heart, what I'm reading here tonight, the world knoweth us not. And there's a reason, because it don't know him. If they knew him, brothers and sisters, listen to me tonight. If they knew him, they would know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they would know that God ain't changed his mind. If they knew him, they would know there's a day coming when they're going to give an account. Amen. If they knew him. They don't know us because they don't know him. I'm glad tonight he knows me. And I know him. The Word of God said, watch this now. There's another reason that I know the saints are living, they're leaving. The Scripture, the scoffers, but then the Spirit. Watch this now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Does that help you tonight? I'm not waiting to see. I'm already a child of the living God. He said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Glory, glory, glory. Every child of God, Brother Rose, has got the Holy Ghost living in them. The Holy Spirit, if you please. Neither one of those terms should scare a born-again child of God. They're both used in the Word of God. Let me say this to you tonight. There's a spirit down inside of us. I think, Sister Tanita, y'all sang a song not too long ago. There's just something that tells us. There's something in the air. I'll tell you what there is. There's something in our hearts that's telling us it ain't going to be long. We're going to be in the air. Brother Grizzle, for years and years, flew an airplane. This ain't going to be an airplane ride, Brother Grizzle. It's going to be plain air. We're going out of here. Watch this now. I'm talking about the Spirit. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. The children of God that are looking for the Son of God, there's something down on the... let me rephrase that, get it right. There's someone down on the inside that says, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. We know because the Spirit of God lives in us. It ain't going to be long. And we're checking out. And then we'll be checking in on the other side. The Spirit of God. Go back over there to 2 Peter quickly. Let me show you what I mean. How it ties in with 1 John. The Bible said in verse number 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. How many of you all have ever taken an Alka-Seltzer Plus? It don't take long, does it? You drop that thing in there. Now, some people take Alka-Seltzer. I've never taken them, but that cold medicine will dry me up pretty good. I've been looking for the stuff, Brother Grizzle, for you can take it with blood pressure medicine. I think there's another one that you're supposed to be able to take with blood pressure medicine. But watch this now. Dissolve. How long does that take? Let me tell you something. This whole thing, that ought to make us more like Abraham. You know what I believe Abraham realized? I ain't going to be here long. I don't really need no big house. Just give me a tent because I'm headed to that hill. Because just over that hill, there may be a city whose builder and maker is God. Youngins, drive the tent stakes, but don't drive them too deep. Because we ain't going to stay here long. We're moving on, amen? We're moving on. I believe with all of my heart, listen to me, I'm not being critical tonight, but if we would examine ourselves, I believe it's very easy to get your stakes drove too deep in this stinking world that we live in. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. This last year has told a lot of people a whole lot if they just look in the mirror and examine their heart. Amen. Brother Don sat up here the other day. He said, Pastor, you've got some faithful people. I say, thank my God. Amen. I tell you what, as faithful as God's been to us, how can we be any less to him? God has been faithful. Amen. The saints are leaving. The Word of God said, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That conversation there is not just talking about what we say, talking about our manner of life, godliness. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Miss Eve, you remember 714, the old porch, the old L-shaped country house we lived in with no insulation. First year we was there, we burnt 12 cord of firewood. 12 cord of firewood in one winter, Brother Larry. You're laughing, amen. And you could get warm at the stove one side at a time. I remember me and Miss Eve curled up under a quilt there watching TV one evening, and Brother Grizzle, a mouse run out from under the baseboard and got over under that stove and went like this. And Miss E said, what are you going to do? I said, I ain't going to do nothing. I feel sorry for him. If I'd have fit up under that stove, that's where I'd have laid down. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. We live in that old farmhouse. Here they come one Saturday. You know who I'm talking about. Them Jehovah's Witnesses. It was a man, had a little boy with him. I let him talk just a few minutes. I didn't let him in the house. I don't think you should let him in your house. The Bible teaches not to bid him Godspeed. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you're not grounded in the Word of God, I wouldn't even talk to him. I'd just tell him where your pastor lives. Say amen. I took his scripture. It's what God brought back to my mind just now. I said, this earth, y'all talking about being renovated and being so pretty. I said, my Bible said it's going to melt with fervent heat. And that man stood there and said, where does it say that in the Bible? I turned there. He looked at that little boy and said, let's go. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't get too attached to it. It's going to fry. Amen. Thank God we're not going to fry. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Brother Don preached on Sunday. They didn't fry. We're not going to fry. We're going to fly and get out of this mess. Amen. Saints are leaving. He said here, watch this. Wherefore, beloved, verse 14, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. You know something right now? Listen to me carefully tonight. The Bible said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'm going to tell you something right now. There ought to be a desire in our heart to be at peace with our brothers and sisters. Amen. And there ought to be a desire tonight to live without spot and to be blameless before him when we know that he's coming. So that's the first thing tonight. It's the thing, a couple things that stir me up. The saints are leaving. The second thing that stirs me up is this, and I'll give it to you and we'll go. And that is the Savior is long-suffering. You say, Pastor, I've been hearing about the second coming all my life. And I have too, even before I was saved. I wasn't saved until I was 27 years old. And I heard about the Lord coming. And these scoffers here, they say, well, where is the promise of His coming? I tell you where it's at. It's right here in the Bible. It's right here in the Word of God. But let me say this to you tonight. Say, Pastor, why hadn't he come? I want you to think about this, Coulter. There's a man Sunday night. He's all confused right now. He's headed for one of the deepest valleys he's ever been in his life. But it'd be a lot easier to go through that valley with Jesus. The Word of God said, listen to me carefully right here tonight. Listen to me. You say, Preacher, it stirs you up that God is long-suffering? Yeah, there's still people sitting on these pews every Sunday morning. Now, I want to go to heaven. I'm going. But I don't want to go without them. I'd like to get ready and go with me. God, even in the days of Noah, 120 years. But he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I wonder how much scoffing went on in those days. A boat, rain, a flood. You remember what I said a while ago? They said it from the time of the creation. No. There was no rain back yonder on that side. God watered the earth with a mist. You say, well, Pastor, where was all that water in that flood? I tell you, part of it come down from above. And if you'll read your Bible, it come up from the deep. There was geysers everywhere. Those that scoffed. Those that made fun of Noah. Those that scoffed and made fun of his boys. How'd you like to have been one of those men? I was going to say young men. They may not have been young. They could have been hundreds of years old. Amen. I'd go back and study and you could probably find it out. But they lived a lot longer back there in those days. I believe Methuselah was 965. Is that right? I better learn not to ask y'all numbers questions because I don't always get the right answer. Amen. But anyway, why would God, y'all believe God could have helped Noah to build that boat in 60 years? You believe if God wanted to, he could have helped Noah to build that boat in 10 years? Why'd he wait 120 years? And by the way, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, is what that chapter said. But God is long-suffering. Let me show you something tonight. The Word of God said, not willing. Look in verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. Lord, I'm going to tell you something tonight. My God was long-suffering with me. I've sat under some preachers. Brother Chris, I'm glad it wasn't up to them. They want to see it in somebody's life, and they want to see it right now. I serve a God that's long-suffering. The Word of God said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That man makes it to that service. I know what God's will is. He may not line up with God's will, but we pray that he will. It's God's will that he repents. It's God's will that he get in. I believe it's getting in time, don't you? Let me show you this. The Word of God said, look at verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is, what's that next word? I don't know if you ever thought about it or not. I don't know. I don't know who. I don't know where. I don't know if it'll be in the Philippines or if it'll be in a jail. I don't know if it'll be in a church. I don't know if it'll be at somebody's coffee table in their living room, somebody's back porch, the gazebo in the backyard. I don't know where the last one's going to get saved before the rapture. But can I tell you this? My God already knows. And he is long-suffering tonight. Honestly, the way we've spit on him in this country, we better be glad that he's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. I'll say this tonight. I can stand against every policy that's against this book and love the person that's promoting the policy. You say, Pastor, I don't understand that. There should be no one in this world, no one, that you and I would want to see fry in hell. I caught just a glimmer of it. I think it was this morning. It's been a long day. But there was a Catholic priest who was talking about our president's stand or lack thereof on abortion. And he made this statement. I may not get it exactly right, but there's two words that stuck out in my mind. He said, something to the effect that your public policy shouldn't be different than what your private policy is. In other words, if you're a devout Catholic and you believe it's wrong to kill the babies, why would you promote policy? I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a lot of Catholics in this world. That's all they are. Now, before you go too far with that, let me just tell you this. Brother John, there's a lot of Baptists in this world. And that's all they are. But if you're really a child of God, what this book teaches means something to you. And this book is teaching us tonight, look for Him. Live for Him. He's coming. That ought to stir us up. And the fact that He is long-suffering, I'm glad. Listen to me tonight. Not only, Brother Rose, was God long-suffering before I got saved, allowing me to live to be 27 years old. Many of you all may not understand this statement tonight, but He's been long-suffering with me since then as well. What a God we serve tonight. Let's leave here tonight with this thought in our mind and our heart. God, I don't want it to be like it was in the days of Isaiah when there was no man, Brother Steve, no one anywhere that stirred up themselves to take hold of God. I pray tonight that if you have lost family, you'll get burdened for them. I remember early on in my Christian life, I can remember my grandmother shouting. I can remember my grandmother squalling about her children that didn't know God. Yeah. At times there'd be, Brother Steve, those in the family that were fighting each other. And it would break my grandmother's heart. And she would beg the church to help her pray. He said, Pastor, why do you remember those things? Because they leave a mark in your heart. I'm going to tell you something right now. When my grandmother shouted, you didn't have to wonder if it's real or not. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. You say, Preacher, she must have shouted because she didn't have much education. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's not what you know about what's down here. It's who you know that lives over yonder that'll put a shout in your soul. How many's glad you come tonight?